me now. Welcome in. This is episode number 2 of season 3 of The Game Plan. Of course, that makes me Jeremy the Impact York. That makes you my amazing listening audience. Obviously, a lot of stuff we want to get into, but I might do this on both shows because we are recording both shows tonight. But this one's first. We all know what today is, the 18-year anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. A lot of people have been sharing stuff all day. I've had conversations with people all day. It's been kind of nice that we all kind of remember what was going on, and it's good to be able to look and to say that I feel like I've been a better person, and I've tried to do more in response to that, because maybe that was the birth of one of my most prevailing life mantras, and that's, at the end of the day, no matter what, be a good human first. And that's what I've tried to do. A lot of people are sharing these stories, so I will share just a quick one here, and then we will obviously talk some college football, Georgia State, Kansas State, some of the big matchups, stuff like that. But everybody said, where were you when you found out? Okay, well, mine's real easy. I do remember it very, very vividly. I was a senior in high school, of all things, right? Senior in high school, I was, my first period class was literature. You don't need to know her name. And yes, I do know it. But we didn't have TV on. In fact, in 99% of the classes, we didn't really have the TV on, but we didn't have TV on. So the shortest walk I ever had between any two classes happened to be senior year between first and second period, because they were seriously, 20 feet apart, just right down the hall from each other. But so I'm using one of the first ones into my second period class, which was I believe, government class. I know it was social studies of some kind. I believe it was government with Mr. Henry. Talk about a good human. He's up there with the great, maybe exceptional humans. But just real knowledgeable, real great. I did note it was kind of weird that when I first walked in, he not only had the TV on, but he wasn't in the classroom. I thought, you know what? In between that 20-minute walk, there was a bathroom. Maybe he went to the restroom. Something like that. I didn't think nothing of it. Sometimes your teachers aren't in class when you get there. But I walk in, and I sat in the very back of the class, of that particular class. So I walk in, I see the TV on, I kind of glance at it, and I see the first tower. It's smoking, and it took me a second, but then I realized where it was and what it was. I saw the headlines coming across the bottom. And then I saw the second plane hit. And when I saw that, just dropped my bag to the floor. I was standing up the entire time watching TV. I was just taking it all in, not real sure what to think. And he walked in and he said, "Oh, are they showing a replay?" And I said, "No, that's a second plane." To which he joined me for a second standing there, and then he went and sat at his desk, which was right into the TV, and just continued to pretty much just stare. And as people filtered in, everybody started to become aware of what was going on. And, we went from there. A lot of times, or a lot of people were, this was one of the few days that if you had a cell phone on you, it was perfectly okay if it rang. if you took the phone call or if you made a phone call with it, as everybody was either checking in with their parents or their parents were calling them. I don't remember ever talking to my dad. I believe I just had a pager at the moment, and he didn't even page. I do know that somewhere about mid-third period, which was Coach Black's psychology class, that could be a whole podcast to itself. Probably one of my favorite classes ever. But he came to pick me up that day and said, yeah, you probably know what's going on. So yeah, I do. And he just, or no, it wasn't third period. It was later on in that day that he came and got me, I believe. Can't remember what class that was. Because I remember sitting in the lunchroom and thinking, based off of the logic that I had, that I still continue to have, I was thinking that if there's a next target, that it could be Atlanta. And I didn't want to freak anybody out, but those who I knew could handle it, as we were discussing things that day. And the days after that, I shared that I thought that could be the next one if there was another one. Come to find out, Pentagon, other stuff like that. There was some other, some of them got detoured or rerouted because of the people on board or just malfunctions. But I also remember that day that at least the majority of the people that were in classes with me, and maybe, senior year, a lot of senior classes, but once everybody got past the initial shock and awe of what was going on, we asked the question that everybody should ask. Now what? What do we do from here? And I was talking to a good buddy of mine. He's been on a lot of my shows, Billy Lindahl. We talk a lot of times in the mornings before we get to our day gigs. And I told him, and I said, yeah, it what rang true the most? I said, we didn't know necessarily what to call kind of the plan we were all going by. We didn't really come up with one, but it was just what we did. The comedian Lewis Carroll, I think his name, no, Lewis Black, not Lewis Carroll. I think he wrote something. But Lewis Black, I saw a stand-up thing he did after all this, to which he said, basically, if we don't continue to grind and continue to move on and push past, sure, we clean up what happened here, but we rebuild, we continue to move forward. If we don't do those things, then the terrorist is going to win. You can't let the terrorist win. It kind of sparked another mantra of mine, and that mantra is, every day I get up, years ago I found a reason to keep fighting in life, or to fight, and I never stop fighting. You keep grinding, you keep pushing forward. I get up every day to fight the good fight the best way that I can. I can't tell you that I win all the time, but I do my best not to lose and to always try to keep going forward. I get up, I fight the good fight. Because at the end of the day, we can't let the bad guy win. Whoever you consider the bad guy, you can't. And on a much, much smaller scale, it's what we talk about when we talk about sports or other activities like this. Because whoever your team is, if you got a big game coming up, you consider yourself the good guys and them potentially the bad guys, and you get up and you grind. If you're a part of that team, then you're hustling hard, you're pushing forward, you're doing everything that you can to make sure that at the end of the day, that the bad guy doesn't win, that other guy doesn't win. I tell people all the time, there's winning, there's losing, and there's not losing. There's the in-between. Not a tie. Tie is a completely different thing. Once again, a whole nother podcast I could go off about ties. But just because you don't win a situation, a scenario, a game, whatever it is, doesn't mean that you necessarily lost. As long as you're making progress, as long as you're grinding forward. We see it in sports. Sports is one of the easiest examples where they say, even though that team lost, it didn't feel like a loss. And why didn't it feel like a loss? Because there was progress made. You can see they were trying. They didn't give up. They continued to just put their nose to the grindstone and just keep pushing. So if we can take nothing else away from what happened 18 years ago today, it's those two things. At the end of the day, be the best human you can be. If that means smiling at five more people tomorrow, saying hello. If that means donating to some cause you feel. If that means just generally being nice. Then be the best human you can be each and every day. And lastly, the second thing. Find a reason to fight. Continue to keep grinding, keep fighting. And fight the good fight, because at the end of the day, as long as you keep doing that, the bad guy's never going to win. They're never going to win. I think that's part of what deterred some of the people who were responsible. They realized that, they caused a lot of havoc, a lot of chaos, a lot of loss, a lot of unexpected just sadness. But when they went back to try to, you know, survey the damage, they realized we were all standing together. We were ready to come right back at them and show them what it feels like to be on the other side of that. And I'd like to think we did a pretty good job of that without getting super into politics or anything like that, because this is not the platform for that. But just wanted to share that. Yes, I absolutely remember where I was at. I'm sure all of you guys do too. And like I said, just to all the first responders, policemen, firefighters, paramedics, even if you weren't any of those and you went to help, any of the people that it just anybody who was a good who is or was a good human. Thank you. The people that serve our country. Thank you. People who have served our country, thank you. If you, like I said, if you are a good human, which I believe deep down we all are, and you keep grinding away and you keep being the best human you can, you found a reason to fight, you're not letting the bad guy win, thank you. But just wanted to really reach out and say that. You know, I don't usually do that on this show a whole lot, but and in fact, I just realized that I went up, had about a 12-minute speech, so there's a good chance that I won't do this. I think I got majority of it out there. Didn't know. I just wanted to start talking. I know some of the other people in the media do this too, where they just want to open up and they just want to say something about something. That's 100% what I feel. So, you know, let's talk some football. I want to start. God, I don't want to start with a bad note, but I guess I'm starting with one. Let's talk a little bit about the KSU game at Kent State. That would be the home of Julian Edelman, or the alma mater, rather. Well, just like another pretty important game that I was watching, the Michigan Army game, this one went back and forth and back and forth. Kent State taking advantage of Kennesaw mistakes. Kennesaw making the most of Kent State mistakes. This thing goes all the way to overtime. And in overtime, Kent State kicks a field goal, wins 26-23. I know, KSU fans, I wish we could win every game too. But it goes back to what I just said. Just because you don't get the W on the board in this case doesn't mean that you necessarily lost. Now, as far as rankings go, yeah, it's a loss. But the effort that was put forth, you got to remember the same thing I said last week. You're returning one starter on offense. There are 10 people starting on offense that have never started before. Just some quick numbers. Daniel David had 185 yards passing. Remember, this is an offense that loves to run the ball. That's what the bread and butter is. Daniel David also had two rushing touchdowns, 27 carries for 74 yards. Yeah. So for everybody that says, well, he only threw 185 yards in an option offense, that's phenomenal. In fact, that's pretty good in college in general. But to run for 74 yards and two touchdowns, I have no problem with his effort, with anything that he did. To me, Daniel David is this guy who's going to take you to the next level. Let's see. You also had Shaq Terry that put up 57 yards. You got Reed and Hancock and Rex Steiner who were able to catch some balls and run for a while. Fumble is what it is. But you got Bates. You got Bryson Armstrong. Did I say his name right? Yeah. Okay. Thought I did. Who had big tackle days. You had, let's see. You had Peyton Moore with a sack and a half. Bell had half a sack. Half a sack goes to Butcher and Allen. I mean, overall, you look at the stats, I'm extremely proud. Just the ball didn't bounce your way. This time around, the ball just didn't bounce your way. I mean, you can't say anything about, you got, does he go by Nate or Nathan? Nobody? Nathan Robertson, 3 for 4, two extra points. He accounted for 11 points. I can't be mad at all about that. It's just, you didn't win this one, but you made progress. You're still in the top 10 of the rankings. And if you're going to lose, we all know, lose early. But now, what does that bring up? Well, that brings up a showdown with the also one win, one loss, Alabama State. And that game takes place this Saturday at 6 p.m. Sometime this week, I will try to put up the information on Facebook as to how to watch. That information should be coming the next day or so. But that's going to be a huge game. It's always a huge game anyway. But to show how this team's going to rebound, to do the exact same thing, once again on a smaller scale, but to do the exact same thing that we did on 9/12 of 2001. You dust yourself off, you pick yourself up, you band together, and you keep grinding, you keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. But let's swap gears. Let's go to the Georgia State game. We were at that game. I know a lot of you that are listening right now were at that game as well. It was quite the fun game to be at. And the reason why it was quite the fun game to be at was because 90 total points were scored. It was back and forth and back and forth. You get Dan Ellington, who set a Georgia State record. And that record, of course, is he threw for 5 touchdowns total. Now, a lot of people asked me this, too, when I said that. They said, you mean Connor Manning never threw for 5 in a game? I assure you, I've seen the record book myself. I've heard from 3 school officials and 2 coaches. He did not. I think 4 was his cap. Well, they said nobody in school history had thrown for 5. And I said, no, not even Nick Arbuckle. So, congratulations, Dan Ellington, on that. Now, of course, for those of you who don't know, the final score of this, 48-42 Furman did score towards the end of the game and then just couldn't hold on. Some stats for you here. Ellington was 29 for 37 for 362 yards and 5 touchdowns. Yeah. Super Dan here is really lighting it up. Rushing yards, he also had 86. On the ground, Paige and Barnett adding 50-plus piece, plus Trey Barnett had a fantastic run for a touchdown. Weird thing is, all five of those touchdowns went to five different people. McCoy, Pinckney, Dixon, Payne, and Carter all caught one. And Payne and Carter are tight ends. The tight ends are really, really starting to get into the mix here. And Aubrey Payne and Roger Carter are fantastic. Defensively, big sacks from Wilson and Taylor. Just the tackle monsters that are Stevens McQueen, Ed Kearney, you know. Post-game, we ended up talking to Coach Elliott. We talked to Dan Ellington. We talked to Cornelius McCoy. And we talked to the guy who had the lone interception, Remy Lazarus, who has, not just because of his name, but because of his play, he is definitely a player I like to watch. He had the lone interception, like I said. He actually returned it 57 yards, and he said he would have returned it all the way, but he just ran out of gas about to 20. He said it won't happen again. But he actually said, when we asked him about the defensive effort and the way he felt his game went, he actually said, this is Remy, of course, who says he felt like he actually had the worst game of anybody that outside, we reminded him, hey, you did have the big interception. He said, well, outside of that, he felt like he was having a down night and that his teammates were the ones who were picking him up and keeping everybody into it. So that's just tells you his character, too. Because it's a group effort, it's a team effort, they always say that. But don't look now, but another record. Georgia State's 2-0. The program has never started 2-0 until now. Congratulations to them. They had we were joking that the money that they got from Tennessee was spent on fireworks. Because they're all new touchdown and field goal celebrations that include a lot of pyrotechnics and a lot of flashing lights and cannon blasts, and it's really, really cool. And then post game, it was over 2 minutes, probably a 2.5 minute fireworks show right above, I believe, the north stands. I actually have a video of it. I'll try to post that up. I was on the field, and all of a sudden, when it started, I flipped the phone up and recorded it all. It was really cool. But like I said, we joked that. But if the pyro is going to be the new big thing, then yeah, come see games just for the pyro, just for the fireworks shows, because they're great. But if you're Georgia State, you're looking forward to this weekend, where you will go up to Kalamazoo, Michigan, to face Western Michigan. That game is a 7 p.m. start on Saturday. I believe it's on ESPN Plus, if I'm not mistaken. That is a ESPN Plus game, so you should be able to watch it there. I'm going to try to. I said Kennesaw, don't quite know yet. Spreads, for people who ask. It looks like, I think Western Michigan is a 8.5-point favorite, if I'm reading this correctly. And that is almost disrespectful. If you're Georgia State, you score 38 against Tennessee, and you score 48 against Furman. seem like you get a little more respect than that, right? But I'm going to start something back this time around. We're doing something a little different on our NFL picks as well. You'll have to tune into that show to find out. We may start doing it on this one. We'll figure that out. But I'm going to pick some games, and we're going to see how everything goes, see how I do, maybe how I do compared to you guys. And as you'll be able to find out, I don't always pick the big games. Sometimes I pick the ones that just seem interesting. So, without further ado, here are the four games that I'm picking this week. I'm going to start with the USC Trojans, 24th ranked USC Trojans, going to BYU, who is, along with Georgia State, is another team that beat Tennessee recently. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I like what BYU is doing this year, but USC has got so much more going on. USC finally found a quarterback, turns out it's their third one. These kinds of things happen. You just had Lynn Swann step down as your AD. Not sure what that's about. I'm sure we will find that out sooner rather than later. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm taking the USC Trojans in that game. Next game, Arizona State at number 18, Michigan State. I would love to tell you Arizona State is gonna whoop up on the Spartans. And not just because there's an 18 next to them do I say this, but take Michigan State. Even as a Michigan fan, I hate that Michigan State is going to be doing pretty well, but at the same time, I like them to do well. Michigan State has been able to handle everything that has been thrown at them this year. They're going to continue to climb up. Once again, hate to say it, but they may actually leapfrog the Wolverines at some point. But take Michigan State. Number 9, Florida, is going to be at Kentucky. Kentucky is always that team that gives people like Florida and Georgia and Alabama trouble. At this point, I'm not going to call the upset. I'm going to say the Gators roll in that one. And I know what you're saying. I'm just picking the favorites, but you haven't heard the fourth game. Kentucky's going to keep it real close. They are. They're going to be that team. This is going to be a warm-up for when they play UGA and some other ones a little bit later on. And who knows? I could be wrong, and they could actually win this. Last game. I always like to pick a late game, which means a lot of times I pick Hawaii. Hawaii is going to number 23, Washington. Give me the Flying Hawaiians. Hawaii is going to beat Washington. Washington is a good team. They're going to be respectable. But at the end of the day, I like Hawaii. I just think Hawaii is going to do it. So to recap, I got number 24, USC over BYU. I got number 18, Michigan State over Arizona State. I've got number 9, Florida, over Kentucky. And I've got Hawaii over number 23, Washington. That's going to do it for the 9/11 2019 episode of the game plan. We'll call this one Never Forget. Never Forget. I hope you guys enjoyed everything. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys shortly for Sports Club. We'll see you next week. Go Owls. Go Panthers.